Hey, praise the Lord. Okay, for everyone that's new here, I don't know if anyone's new in the room, but we all called One a Messiah congregation. And let's ask the Lord to bless and anoint this Sabbath study today. Would you mind standing, please? Heavenly Father, Lord and God, we thank and praise you, Lord and God, for this Sabbath day. It's so great to leave everything behind and put our minds upon you and rest in the Lord. I thank and praise you, Lord, we could be here today. And for the brothers and sisters on the internet and in the congregation here, and people around the world keeping your holy day, your Sabbath. It is a sign unto your people. Lord and God, we pray today you'll bless and anoint the reading, teach us something new. Lord and God, fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Send down your Holy Ghost upon us, your Spirit of God, Lord, that hovered upon the waters. Lord and God, that moved upon the face of the deep, the face of the waters. I pray, Lord and God, that you'll be with us today in a special way. Heal those that need healing in their bodies, Father God, so we can do things for you. Save those that need to be saved. Deliver those that need to be delivered. In this world we live in, it's so dark. It's getting darker and darker. Lord, as time progresses, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You'll bring us back one more time to your city, Father God, city of God. Lord and God, those people out there don't know you. Would love to go there and preach the gospel. Only led by your Holy Spirit. Many have tried, and Lord, and it seems so hard. Lord, we pray, Lord and God, you'll open doors that we don't even know about. We thank you for everything today, in the mighty name of the Messiah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, everyone can hear me well, I suspect. And we hope the volume is okay. Praise the Lord. We are One a Messiah congregation. There's the P.O. Box, 254, Franklin, Tennessee. 37065, if you ever want to mail anything to us, you can always drop us a line right there. Today's the Sabbath. Shabbat Shalom means that have a peaceful Sabbath. Praise the Lord. Today's June 2nd. June 2nd, 2007, according to Pope Gregory. However, in God's month, we're still in the third month of God, and it's called Sivan. It's the 16th day today. Today's the 16th day of Sivan. And of course, Esther 8:9, that's where it says it's the third month called Sivan. Praise the Lord. I just want to bring up a few things that are going on in our congregation. Starting tomorrow, thank God. I didn't put that down. I should have put down Sunday. I forgot to write the word Sunday, but we have a new radio broadcast on WNQM, and it's on your dial. It's 1300 AM. It's going to be 3:30 to 4 p.m., and it's on Sunday, so Yom Rishon. So we're going to start the week off preaching the gospel on a new radio station. So I'll be recording them, Lord willing, and putting them on the net if you don't hear them. Also, I was invited recently to be on the show called the Deborah Interviews Show, and that's going to be Friday the 22nd. It's on cable. I'll get you the station as soon as I find out. I don't really. Deborah, she wants me to come and give my testimony. And, of course, I'm going to talk about God, of course. Praise the Lord. You know, I try to use every little opportunity to do something for God. It's hard to find little things to do. But this is another cable. It's going to hit a whole different segment of people that we probably never would have hit before. And this new station hits a whole different audience, which is different than the other station we were on. So we're going to give that a try. A few news items. There's many news items. I mean, there's the IRS trying to stop preachers from preaching the gospel. There's still bombing the terrorists from Gaza. That's going on every day. The Lebanon war is going on. I mean, there's so many things to report. But I just wanted to bring up this. You know, this is an interesting article. Christian-Jewish relations under fire. This is in Israel. They determined Israeli politicians gained support of the top religious authorities, in effect, to end cooperation between evangelical Christians world and Israel. They want to end their world there. They want to put an end to this evangelical stuff. An Israeli politician who had for years sought to put an end to the Christian-Jewish relations may now be making progress after gaining the ear of Israel's top religious authorities. That means the rabbis, which there's no rabbis in the Tanakh. There's no rabbis in the Hebrew Bible. But these men elected themselves. So the Jerusalem Council citywoman, this Mina Fenton's past efforts have come to naught largely because Israel's religious authorities, under the leadership of former chief rabbi Meir Lur, was generally tolerant and often supportive of Christian-Jewish reconciliation and cooperation. But Lou's replacement, Rabbi Yonah Metzger, has been described as far more political and suspicious in his outlook. So praise the Lord. Earlier this month, Fenton and her allies and various anti-missionary religious groups managed to convince a top rabbinical court to ban Jewish participation in an interfaith women's conference put on by the Parliamentary Christian Ally Caucus and two Jerusalem-based Christian ministries. If you want to read the whole article, you just go to that website right there and you'll be able to read the whole article. But here we have all these people sending millions and millions and millions of dollars just to Israel. And of course, the people in Israel are never going to go for this Christian Jewish relationship because they think that you just constantly want to convert them to Yeshua. And of course we do. Yeah. So there's no getting around the bush on that. That's one article. You can read the whole article yourself. I mean, the Lord says to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Praise the Lord. Also, there's the police. They approved the gay march in Jerusalem. This is March 27th. What was the date on the other article? May 27th. The other date on the other article was May 31st, 2007. On my website, you can go to one of the links on the left side. It's called Current Events. I have all these newspapers that you can click on, and it's all the different newspapers that you'll have enough news there to keep you busy for a long time. Anyway, this right here on May 27, 2007, the half year has passed, and traditional elements in Jerusalem are gearing up for another fight against yet another homosexual parade in the holy city. Religious, traditional, and conservative elements in Jerusalem say they will not accept another attempt at the homosexual parade in the holy city. This just a few days after police announced its approval in principle of the parade scheduled for next month. I don't know how the police, that's like a legal term, they agree in principle, you know. This past Thursday, the police stated they do not object to the holding of march sponsored by the open house homosexual organization. The organizers are still awaiting an official permit, however. And you can read the rest of the article right there on israelinn.com. But I'm just to know that there's...
Israelinn.
Yes, israelinn.com, excuse me. And just to make sure you understand, there's actual homosexual groups in Israel. Can you believe that? In God's land, where God says, Lo Kadesha, no sodomite, no harlot. And of course, homosexual, no cross-dresser. This is all an abomination to God. But yet, they don't even care. They don't care. But anyway, there's many articles. I didn't want to get too going there on the news because the news is available to everyone. You should always know current events, what's going on. Know what's going on in the world. You know, you don't have to. I wouldn't say don't have a heavy diet on the news because you'll get like negative. There's so many negative things going on. But, you know, at least be abreast of what's going on. Praise the Lord. Anyway, Shabbat Shalom. And my study today is about, of course, the Asaf Suf. In Hebrew, it means the mixed multitude. Don't look back. No, I hear this a lot sometimes. Some people say life is hard. It's vain to serve God, and they start to look back. They try to keep a hand back in the past. Or they try to look back, looking back to Egypt, your past life, you know. This is all through the Bible. Some people are just not satisfied with the things of God and what God is doing in your life. So they see enticing hands trying to grab you, you know, from the past life. Egypt 14:11, and they said unto Moses, because there's no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Isn't that amazing? These people are complaining, the Israelites, that how, you know, they're complaining, you brought us out of Egypt. Our life back there was great. Who wants to be in the wilderness? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? They wanted to serve the Egyptians. This is the Israelites. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Can you believe that? God delivered them away from out of Egypt. I mean, through the wilderness, through the Red Sea. He opened the Red Sea, and they're still and they're complaining after that. That's beyond my imagination. Anyway, Numbers 14:1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. But you might think, what are they weeping about, right? And all the congregation of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Or would God we had died in this wilderness. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that terrible? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Shabbat Shalom. So you say to yourself, these people that are always trying to look back, they're always trying to look back. Maybe this life isn't in God isn't so pleasurable, but there's something back there that always says, your former life was better. Come back. You know, this invisible luring of Satan to try to get you away from God, to go back. Listen to this. And they said one to another, let us make us a captain and let us return to Egypt. Forget about this Moses. Forget about the Red Sea. I mean, that was just a dream anyway. Did that really happen?
I always think about the
flesh
pot.
That word. The flesh pot.
Let's return to our flesh pot.
Well, if they wanted some weird stuff, we're going to read about it. It's a horrible. It's just like Lot's wife in Genesis 19:26. She looked back. She became a pillar of salt. In other words, her heart was back there in Sodom and Egypt, you know. She still didn't want to leave everything back there, you know. When God says go, you have to go. You can't worry about all your stuff. Go. God will give you new stuff if you're so worried about stuff. Hebrew 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith, and if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So you can't draw back. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Second, you know, Peter, in his epistle, he writes, but it's happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow, which is a swine, that was washed to her wallowing, goes right back to the mire. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon says, say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? It says, for thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. A lot of people, they think about, serving God hasn't profited me. I used to have so much stuff when I was a sinner. And Proverbs, and Peter got that verse up there from Proverbs 26:11. The dog returned to his vomit. As the dog returned to his vomit, so a fool returned to his folly. That's sad. I always tell people, please watch all the mixed multitudes around you. Make sure you know who's around you. Exodus 12:38, and the mixed multitude, that's Erev Rav, went up also with them, flocks and herds, even very much cattle. So when they left, this mixed multitude was going with them. And then we see right here in Numbers, which was last night's Torah portion, this was one of the chapters we read, in Numbers 11, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. You mean just complaining displeases the Lord? Does he really listen to that? Yes. And he guess what? He has ears. And he heard it. And his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them. That they were, it says, that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. See, some people try to stay way in the back, but God still hears you. Some people think, well, no one sees me. I'm way in the back of the congregation. God still hears your murmurings of your heart. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched, and he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And that's exactly what that word means. Taberah means a place. It's a place, but it's also burning. And that word Taberah is also in Deuteronomy 9:22. This is where they, listen to this, and at Taberah and Massa and at Kibroth Hataavah, you provoke the Lord to wrath. So this, God keeps a record of people and when they provoke him to wrath. Isn't that amazing? For us now, they're examples and in samples for us to learn not to do, But if you don't read this, you would never know. And the mixed multitude, and that's, as in Hebrew, a safsuf, that's really a different kind of a word than erev rav. But a safsuf that was among them fell lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who should give us flesh to eat? In other words, instead of them reproving the mixed multitude, they went along with them. There's a safsuf. Now, I put it in some and phonetics there, a safsuf, so you could say it. Gathered up together, that is a promiscuous assemblage of people. That's what this is. They're lusting. Listen, what the children of Israel even made it worse. Here's what they said. We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. They're complaining. What are we doing here in Egypt in the desert, man? There's nothing to eat. Who wants this manna that you gave us from heaven? Oh, man. It says, they said, but our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. Could you imagine them saying that? God rained down manna from heaven like a miracle, sustained them. They just like, ah, we want some garlic and some leeks. I'm sure they wanted more than that. And the manna was of coriander seed, and the color thereof was the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was the taste of fresh oil. Praise the Lord. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. And Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. When it says they were weeping because they were stuck in the wilderness. They wanted to go back to Egypt. That's a wrong kind of weeping. You know what I mean? Big time whiners. More than that. I can't even imagine that. I can't even imagine that. After you've seen the Red Sea split and you went in the dry ground and they're saying, what are we doing here? Can't even imagine that, really. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Moses wanted to get out of here. He's like, oh, and wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight that thou layest this burden of all this people upon me? They're wicked. I don't want to be with them. It says, have I conceived this? Moses is saying, have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them? That thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth the suckling child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers. Moses wants to get out of there too, because he knows what's going to happen to them, you know. Wherefore should I have fleshed? Now this is when Moses starts getting a little out of it right here, because he's going, wherefore should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep in unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I'm not able to bear all this. Talk about getting a migraine. Talk about, I'm not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand. And if I have found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness. In other words, I know I'm complaining. I know I sound terrible. Look, just take me away. Because he's realizing, he knows that there's really a God. These other guys, they forget every once in a while. People forget it. People forget when the sun comes out and the weather gets warm. Where's God? Let's go live it up. Yahoo! You got to be careful. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel. This is not the Sanhedrin, okay? A lot of people are using these verses as the Sanhedrin. These are 70 men of the elders of Israel that feared God, men that hated covetousness. These are people of God, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people, officers over them. Bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand before with thee. And I will come down. God's going to come down and talk with thee there. And I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. Could think of that. The Spirit that was on Moses is so mighty that he put it on 70 other men. That's pretty good. And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. It says, ye shall eat flesh. You're going to eat flesh. For you have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it were well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and you shall eat. Ye shall not eat one day, or 2 days, or 5 days, or 10 days, or 20 days. Uh-oh, God's getting angry right here. But even a whole month it shall come unto your... It says, until it come out... Wait a minute. Even a whole month until it come out at your nostrils. And it will be loathsome unto you, because that you have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? Why did you deliver us out of Egypt? We were having a ball there. We were slaves. But who wants to die in the wilderness? Who is the Lord? They despise the Lord. And Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen. And thou sayest, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month? See, Moses is like shaky there. Because look what God says to Moses. What, Moses? You forgot who you're dealing with, Moses? Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them? Moses is out of it right here. Shall the flocks should be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the flesh of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? I mean, he's like wondering, how am I going to do it? How am I going to do it, God? And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxing short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Whoa. See, some people can get you starting to, they can sort of get you a little bit out of the spirit. So you got to watch out. Because here it is, Moses almost sounded like, you know, he was going to do it. When God can do anything he feels like, he can feed the whole world right now. He can send everyone right now a sandwich. 6.5 billion people. Or, you know, steak dinner or, you know, whatever. Right now. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. Praise the Lord. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him, and took the spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders, which are not the Sanhedrin. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. That's right. And there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad. Eldad means like love of God or something like that. Wait a minute. Go back. And the name of the other was Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Yeah, really. I wish everybody was out there preaching the gospel, telling everyone today's the Sabbath. It's a commandment. I wish everybody was out there telling people about the feast of the Lord, the calendar of God, clean and unclean, holy and profane. I wish everybody was doing that. I'm not jealous. Go ahead, go. And Moses got him into the camp, and he and the elders of Israel, and there went forth a wind. Just think, a wind. That's the ruach, a wind from the Lord, and brought forth quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. You know how many quails? That's a lot of quails. We're talking like, yeah, 3 or 4 foot. Oh, man. And the people stood up all the day, and all that night, and all that next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 omers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. They're so out of their minds. They're just like, the flesh. They wanted the flesh. It says, while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it were chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and he smote the people with a very great plague. Ugh. Praise the Lord. And he called the name of that place, in Hebrew it's called Kivrot Hata'ava. Because because there they buried the people that lusted. And the people journeyed from Kibroth Hata'ava unto Hazeroth, and about that Hazeroth. And there it is in Hebrew. It's Kivrot Hata'ava, which means to bury or graves for longing and lust. They're longing. Praise the Lord. Yes. Yes, their stomach was their God. Oh, and they didn't want to be in the wilderness. And who needs Moses? And where is the Lord? And did that Red Sea really split? That was your imagination. You dreamt that. We dreamt that. I mean, what are we doing? You ever been in a wilderness? I mean, there's nothing there. You sort of feel pretty like, what am I doing here? That's what they felt, except they forgot God's the one who brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand. They were supposed to teach their children, tell everybody, with a mighty 10 plagues upon Egypt. They complained 10 times in the wilderness. Oh, boy. Nehemiah says the same thing in chapter 13, where it tells you, chapter 13 talks about also, it's a sin to buy and sell on the Sabbath. But it came to pass when they heard that they heard the law, they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. Get everyone out of here. They wanted to get away from everybody that wasn't of God, that didn't agree to the God of Israel. Bible says in Proverbs 22:24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. You know why? You're going to learn his ways, and you'll get a snare unto your soul. You'll end up being like them. Got to watch out for people. You know, angry and furious means a lot of things. Doesn't just mean in behavior. It could mean also against God and against his commandments, against the way you're supposed to live and the way you're supposed to walk, the halacha. In Jeremiah 10:2, it says, thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. We've learned so much the way of the heathen here in America and around the world. Learn not the way of the heathen. Nor be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. Exodus 23:2, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Where everyone's doing it, don't make sure it's not breaking the commandments. And thou shalt not speak again. It says, thou shalt speak in the cause to decline after way to rest judgment. You're not supposed to do that. That word rest judgment, rest means pervert. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many, to rest, to pervert judgment. Just because the whole group here is saying homosexual parades is right, yeah! You say, no, that's breaking the commandments. Neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in this cause. You don't just keep saying, the poor man keeps going, I'm poor, I can't serve the Lord. And you go, okay. No, you're supposed to say, okay, get up now, let's go. Let's get a job. Let's start doing something for God. Let's move. Let's get going. You're not supposed to countenance a poor man in his cause. I mean, you're not supposed to esteem the poor above the rich, and you're not supposed to esteem the rich above the poor, but in righteous judgment, fair and balanced. You know, like Fox News says that, even though they're not, God is fair and balanced. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Don't be deceived. Evil communications, they do corrupt good manners. They really do. You might think, well, I'm just hanging out with them for an hour or two. Yeah, but they're cursing and their ways and they're living together and the fornication and lust and but I can hang out with them for a little bit. No, yeah, well, it's going to corrupt good manners. 2 Corinthians, Paul told the Corinthians, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Well, I can hang out with unbelievers. No, you can't. What fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness? If you're really righteous, you're going to feel the difference between you and them. You're going to think, well, what fellowship do we really have? And what communion had light? What communion has light with darkness? What concord has the Messiah with a false Messiah, a false husband, when Christ is supposed to be your husband? What part hath he that believeth with an unbeliever, an infidel? I mean, really, what part, what can you really do? Hello, Shabbat Shalom. How are you? Okay. Next slide, please. And what agreement had the temple of God with idols? Really, I mean, like, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? I mean, you are the temple of the living God. Did you know? Remember that? Wow. As God had said, I will dwell in them, walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What you're supposed to do is come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Be separate. Don't hang out with them. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty, El Shaddai. Paul tells the Ephesians, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Can't I have a little bit of fellowship with them? I mean, they're my friends. I mean, no, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But you're supposed to reprove them. That's what you're supposed to do. But you know, most people today don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. They're not worried about God's feelings. It says, for it's a shame to even to speak of those things which are done to them in secret. It's a shame to even do that. Okay, I just want to make sure that the 70 elders that we read about there in Numbers chapter 11, people got to understand those 70 elders are not the Sanhedrin. I know this is like an issue that's been going on in a lot of people's minds in the last few days and the last few weeks. The scriptures below are not talking about the Sanhedrin or anyone in today's Judaism, okay? These scriptures that I'm going to read to you has nothing to do with Judaism, because Judaism is just made up between 200 and 400 AD by the rabbis. And there's no rabbis in the Hebrew Bible. There's no rabbis. They made that name up, and they elected themselves. Deuteronomy 17:8. This is what some of the people think that the Sanhedrin is supposed to be doing. If there arise a matter too hard for thee in judgment between blood and blood, plea and plea, between stroke and stroke, being matters of controversy within thy gates, then shalt thou arise and get thee up into the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. And thou shalt come unto the priests, the Levites, and unto the judge that judge it, unto the judge that he shall be, that shall be in those days, and inquire, and they shall show thee the sentence of judgment. And thou shalt do according to the sentence which they of that place which the Lord shall choose shall show thee. And thou shalt observe to do according to all that they, the judge, the Levites, shall inform thee. Now, I want to make sure you understand, there was no such thing as a Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin is a Greek word, you know. This is talking about the real judge and the real Levites. This is talking about back in these days. It isn't talking about what Judaism made up. According to the sentence of the law which they shall teach thee, and according to the judgment which they shall tell thee, thou shalt do, thou shalt not incline from the sentence which they shall show thee to the right hand or to the left, because the judgment is God's. The judge, you know, you are gods, and we are gods in the sense that we have God's judgment. So that's, you can come unto us, Jews that know the Bible. We'll tell you the best we can do, and if we don't know, we'll seek the Lord and say, God, show us, please, the answer. And we pray God will give us the answer. It's not talking about people that don't know the Messiah, and that's in Judaism. This verse right here is not about the Sanhedrin. 19:15 of Deuteronomy. One witness shall not rise up against the man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, and the priest and the judges shall be in those days, which shall be in those days, and the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness and had testified falsely against his brother, then shall you do, it says, then shall you do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put away evil from among you. And those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. This is talking about the Levites and the judges in those days. And in these days, of course, it's people of God that keep the commandments, keep the statutes, the judgments, you know. Deuteronomy 26:1, it shall be, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God shall give thee for an inheritance, and possesseth it, and dwelleth therein, thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land, that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to put it, to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. So that's not the Sanhedrin, okay? Exodus 24:1, and he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord. This is God talking. He said, come up unto the Lord. Little plurality there. You, Moses, and Aaron, and Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. That's not the Sanhedrin, okay? These are the elders of Israel at that time. Then went up Moses, and Aaron, and Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel. I just want to make sure, I put all these verses down, so these are the verses everyone picks to show you that the Sanhedrin is legitimate today. The Sanhedrin has been created again after like 1,700 years. They're in Israel. They're over 2.5 years old. Now they're growing up again. And it's probably just another council of just people that rejected the Messiah, just like in the time of Yeshua. It was the council. And you're not supposed to follow them, okay? That's not these guys in the Bible, all right? People still can't separate that, and I can't understand why. Blindness is so strong. Numbers 11:16, there it is again. Gather me the 70 men of the elders of Israel. That's not the Sanhedrin, everybody. The reason why I'm telling you this, right now there's a Sanhedrin in Israel, and there's even people in America thinking that we should go listen to the Sanhedrin and, you know, observe some of their judgments and their decisions. No! They rejected your Messiah. They actually hate your Messiah. They actually think you're an idolater. Why would you follow people like that? These men that Moses picked were really the elders of Israel at that time. See the difference? And God put his spirit upon these men, which is totally different, okay? And the Lord, okay, so here's the 70 elders again. We just read this in Numbers chapter 11. I want to make sure you know this. Now, to get a little more deep into this, I thought I should go over this again because there's still people that don't understand this. So, Yeshua the Messiah said to the Pharisees, remember the Pharisees? He told the Pharisees, you are not of God. Well, Yeshua, man, but their beards are so long, and they got a lot of books. They got so many books. He said, you're not of God. This verse right here, a lot of people are using. Unfortunately, there's even men that are deceived today. I might name his. Should I name his name? Maybe I won't. But they're using this verse, and they're saying that this is Jews and Judaism. This is Zechariah 8:23. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, because we heard God is with you. This is not talking about a Jew in Judaism. Okay? This is not talking about a Jew that rejected the Messiah. This is not talking about a Jew that's just out there. But we're Jews that accepted the Messiah. This is talking about people of God. Okay? Does everybody see that or understand that? Yes. Yes. Anybody that's accepted the Messiah, that keeps the commandments of God, this is not talking about Jews that rejected the Messiah, hate your Messiah, and to come against the Messiah. Well, the man that says this a lot is, there's a poor Gentile man, his name is Joseph Good, and he breaks down this scripture wrong. And you can look him up on the net. He's got a lot of stuff wrong, and he is trying to follow rabbinic Judaism. I have called his place numerous times and talked to people there, and they're so mixed up there, you wouldn't believe it. They want to know how to serve the Lord, but they're trying to follow rabbis who hate Yeshua to follow the Lord. Would you follow someone that hates your Messiah? I mean, that don't even make any sense, spiritually or logically. Anyway, Next verse, please. This verse above is clearly not talking about Jews and Judaism who have not received the Messiah, Yeshua. Please read below. Anti-missionaries are not of God. Anti-missionaries are not. They deny Yeshua is the Messiah and that he came in the flesh. And that's the flesh of Israel. They're anti-Christ, actually. Okay? Now, just so you don't think I'm saying this myself, let's go to this witness, John. He was with the Lord. You could trust him. Yohanan in Hebrew. Yohanan, okay? He says, who's a liar? Who's a liar? This is John 2:22. You know who's a liar? He that denies that Yeshua is the Messiah. He's not only a liar. If you deny Yeshua is the Messiah, you are an antichrist. You're an anti-Messiah that denieth the Father and the Son. Okay? You might think, well, so-and-so don't believe in Jesus. That's big. He's an antichrist at that point. Especially if they're preaching that. Whosoever, listen to this. If you deny the Son, oh, we don't believe in that Son stuff. We don't like Psalms where it says, kiss the Son. We don't like Daniel where it says, the Son of Man, he came with the clouds of heaven. We don't like those kind of verses. If you deny the Son, the same had not the Father. So why would you follow someone that doesn't have the Son and doesn't have the Father? Oh, because they sound intellectual, right? They're in academia. They're so brilliant. They wrote so many books. Proficient authors. No, they don't have the Son. They don't have the Father. You're following nothing, actually. The Talmud is probably 60 to 70. I can't remember how many volumes it is, but it's over 300 arguments. There's arguments in the Talmud, the Mishnah and the Gemara, between the house of Hillel and the house of Shammai, where they don't even agree. Just think of that. And people are following that, studying it all the time. John 5:23 says, Yeshua says, this is Jesus, Yeshua says, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. If you don't honor, he says, he that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father that sent him. If you don't honor the Son, me, he's saying, then you don't honor the one, the Father, who sent me. Wow. Yeshua the Messiah said to the Pharisees, John 8:47, he that is of God heareth God's words. He's telling them, you therefore hear them not. You know why? Because, this is in John, Jesus, Yeshua said this, ye are not of God. That's 8:47 of John. Now this is all on my website. In case later you want to, I'm going too fast, you can always print it out. You can always go to my website, it's right there. I know these verses are shocking to people because nowadays, so many people out there, I've seen constantly, they are following rabbis or going to Jews to get spiritual advice. I'm talking about Jews and Judaism. No, come to Jews that know the Messiah. Come to Jews that have the Spirit. Don't go to someone that hates the Messiah. That's ridiculous. John 4:3 says, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Mashiach, is come in the flesh, if they don't confess that, they're not of God. Really? Just think, Judaism, the whole Judaism, they all say that. That means the whole Judaism is not of God. Wow, that's a strong thing to say, isn't it? No, I didn't say it. He did it. He said it. John. I'm just repeating what Yohanan said, who was a Jewish believer that was with the Messiah. Just think of that. All the people that don't confess that Yeshua is the Messiah and that he came in the flesh, if you don't believe that, you're not of God. I'm sure there's a lot of other religions, too, that don't believe that, like Buddhas and Shmudas and Gazudas, okay? It says, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that's not of God heareth not us. If you don't hear what I'm saying right now, you're not of God because I'm just quoting the Bible. It says, we are of God. He that heareth God heareth us. He that's not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Amen. I can detect the spirit of error immediately when someone tells me, well, after hearing a whole message like this, they go, well, you know, I'm just going to go check out with the rabbi what he has to say. What? They're antichrist. They're not of God. Now, I'm not telling you to go treat them bad. I'm not telling you to do anything derogatory or, you know, treat everyone with respect. Just tell them, say, excuse me, I'm not interested. I'll go check with a Jew that knows the Messiah and has the Spirit. Listen to this. This is a deep one right here. Pretty soon, you're not going to be able to say this verse. I already know that because that sounds like a hate. He that believeth on him, Yeshua, is not condemned. He that believeth not, if you don't believe that in Yeshua, you're condemned already because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So, in other words, if you don't believe in Yeshua as the Messiah, you're condemned. Wow, you won't be able to say that pretty long, too much longer. They're already trying to put laws into the books to stop everyone from talking. He that believeth on the Son, did you know if you believe on, know why the devil don't want you to believe on the Son? Because if you believe on the Son, you have everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son, if you don't even believe in the Son, you're not going to see life. But guess what? The wrath of God abided on you or him. Wow. 1 John 5:1. John is really strong. I'm surprised they haven't got this book out of here. Whosoever believeth that Yeshua is the Messiah is born of God. So if you don't believe that Jesus, Yeshua, is the Messiah, you're not born of God. Wow. If you don't believe that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Messiah, you are not born of God. John, again, in the second epistle, he says, many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Yeshua is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ in English. It's come in the flesh. There's a lot of people that don't confess that. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Would you go ask an antichrist some spiritual advice? Of course not. But these people, the only thing, like even last night on Pal Talk, people still don't get this. They don't get that. They don't get that. John was with the Lord. You could trust him. He's a faithful witness. I mean, you could say, well, this guy talking here, Malachi, I don't know if I believe him. Hey, if I wasn't here, that still says that. I mean, if I wasn't here, it still says that. You're a deceiver and an antichrist if you don't confess that Yeshua is the Messiah and that he came in the flesh, and not only that, the flesh of Israel. He didn't just come in anybody's flesh. He came in the flesh of Israel. He's a Jew. A lot of people don't want to say that Jesus is a Jew from the tribe of Judah. He's from the fruit of David's body, it says in Psalms. Praise the Lord. Anyway. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of the Messiah hath not God. Oh, man. I mean, these verses are so very strong because you could think in your life how many people this eliminates. It eliminates a lot of people. And some of the people you might say, well, they're nice, they're intelligent, and they got their high positions in corporation. So what? They are not of God. If they die, they're going to end up in a big jam. I'll put it that way. And I don't mean grape jam. Okay? He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, if you abide in the doctrine of Christ, the Messiah, you have both the Father and the Son. Amen. So you have to believe in the Messiah, that he came to be the Savior of the world. And through his blood, we have salvation. Because all the sacrifices were pointing to the coming of the Messiah. That's why we're killing these lambs and bullocks and shedding all this blood. Everyone thinks like the blood is just a big mess. No, it's pointing to the Messiah. One day he's going to be the lamb without spot or blemish. Amen. We're doing this because we believe he's coming. Now we look back and say he died for us. And he's coming back soon. Really soon. Because now the Sanhedrin is created for real. Now they tried to do blood sacrifices on the Temple Mount just a few months ago. That was during Passover. And right this minute, they are pushing to build the third temple. If you ever hear the third temple is built or starting, that means the Antichrist, is on his way to sit on the throne there. See, a lot of people don't believe in the Antichrist. They don't believe in none of that stuff. But you got to believe the news. If you don't believe the Bible, at least believe the news. There's really a Sanhedrin. They really want to do blood sacrifices. They're really pushing to build the third temple. This is really happening right now, 2007. And I don't know when it's going to happen. It might happen, you know, shortly. But I don't want to be around when Judaism elects their Messiah, because their Messiah is going to be some man. They want Superman to come and save the day. He's not going to be deity. Judaism has a different idea of what the Messiah is. And they're told, don't talk about the afterlife. That's ridiculous. Don't follow Judaism. In Judaism, they tell everybody, don't talk about the end times. Well, that's ridiculous. We want to talk about everything. You know, I was listening to that Joseph Good guy the other day. He was saying that Judaism has 39 restrictions for people on the Sabbath. 39 things you're not supposed to do. But if you're a Gentile, you only get 38. I mean, it's right on his website if you don't believe me. Go look at it. Anyway, and I hope Joseph gets away from... I have nothing against him. He seems like a nice man. He seems like a guy hungry for the commandments. I hope that he can go follow some Jews that believe in the Messiah for a while instead of Judaism and the sages of Judaism. We should fast for that guy and pray for him and seek the Lord. And I mean, you know, we don't put anyone down. We say, oh, this guy, this poor guy, is being tricked by Judaism because the men have their beards are just so long. They, you know, people, yeah, and the payouts and stuff like that. Anyway, boy, that rings a bell. Anyway, did you know if there come any unto you? See a little word any. That's a big word right there. That means any. If there comes any unto you and bring not this doctrine, did you know if anybody who doesn't believe that Jesus is the Messiah and that he came in the flesh, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, you're not supposed to bid him Godspeed. Oh, praise the Lord. It's nice to see you. No. It says you're not even supposed to receive him into your house. Anyone who does not believe that Jesus is the Messiah and they try to bring another doctrine into your house, you're supposed to say, out of my house. You don't come in my house. I don't care who it is. If it's your mother, your grandmother, your children, your uncle, your whoever. If they try to come and preach another gospel to you, away with you. Matter of fact, Paul says twice that even if an angel from heaven comes and brings another gospel, let him be accursed. Wow. Yes, what's important? Yeah. This is being recorded, but please write that down. I want to answer your question. Okay. Make a note of that, please. He that biddeth him Godspeed. If you bid the person Godspeed, then you're condoning what they're doing, and you're a partaker of their evil deeds. Imagine if somebody comes to you and says, Jesus isn't God. He's not the Messiah. He's nothing. Come and follow Mahaji Baba. I got the truth. Hey, you're not coming to my house. Forget that. As I say in New York, forget about it. Big time. Romans, Paul told the Romans concerning the gospel, these unsaved Jews, they're enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. So that's why I tell people, be careful when you talk to people, even unsaved Jews too. Treat everyone with respect. Treat everyone nice, but you don't know who the election is, according to the grace. Okay? There's a remnant of the Jews that will be saved. Not everyone's an anti-missionary. I'm not anti-missionary. I'm here to... I want to be an anti-missionary. I tell people all the time what Paul told Timothy. He says, look, don't give heed to Jewish fables. Don't give heed to Jewish fables. We're talking about stuff that's not about the Messiah. And commandments of men that turn from the truth. I mean, if you ever, these messianics, you should see all the money they spent. Matter of fact, that one guy I was telling you about a few minutes ago, he said he spent a fortune in all the books he had to buy in Judaism. It cost him a literal little fortune. You got to see all the books in Judaism you have to buy. You'd be shocked. Same thing in Catholicism, actually. You know how many books you got to buy? And you got to buy the outfits, and you got to buy the robes and the things and the... I mean, really, it cost you a literal fortune. When the Lord says, come as you are, come as a child, just come. He didn't say, come with, did you get your degree? When did he say that? He got fishermen with the Holy Spirit. Bump. He put the Spirit on fishermen, and they were like super. I mean, yeah. Who needs? God don't need no degrees. Praise the Lord. I always tell people, we all got in the Bible, in the Spirit. We all got PhDs. We praise Him daily, right? We also got THDs. We thank Him daily. That's the best degrees I can have. Okay, now remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul told the Thessalonians, and I tell you this, even though I tell you about all these things, these are, you know, the people you're not supposed to go on to for spiritual advice, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. And the last verse in Philippians, I think it is, chapter 4, verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Praise the Lord. And I don't just mean me. I mean everyone that loves the Lord, that believes His word, doesn't change the word, doesn't add to the word, doesn't diminish from the word, doesn't have a secret agenda, doesn't want to believe in some religion that was made after the 1500s, doesn't follow Catholicism, doesn't follow Islam, doesn't follow anyone's religions. This follows the doctrine of the Messiah. If you follow the doctrine of the Messiah, you have God. Amen. If you don't follow the doctrine of the Messiah, what happens? You don't have God. The wrath of God abides on you. Anyway, we're going to stop here. I see you guys in the room got it, and I hope everybody on Pow Talk got it. Praise the Lord. Okay, we'll stop here.